This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move on into Galatians with Introduction to Galatians, No Other Gospel, Paul's Call, Paul's first visit to Jerusalem, and Paul's second visit to Jerusalem. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ,
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declared the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. He said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? They said to him, We are able. Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. This is what Jesus said to his disciples on that road to Jerusalem just before our gospel reading this morning. Our Lord Jesus predicted his death and resurrection, and James and John immediately started angling over who would take the honored seats at the heavenly banquet. Grant us, Lord, to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Imagine that. What a bold move. A power play by the Zebedee brothers. In it, they ask that Jesus give them the best seat in the house when Jesus is in his glory. Now, we wouldn't do something like that, now would we? We wouldn't worry about our own status and position in the kingdom while Jesus goes on to his sacrifice? Or would we even hear what Jesus said? Are we too busy looking out for number one? Not us, Lord. We would never miss out on Jesus' word because we weren't listening. Perish the thought. James and John are thinking in the way of the Gentiles, the rulers and the lords. They have that concept of the kingdom in mind, a kingdom that is established here on earth, and they see themselves in the key positions in the new administration when Jesus takes up residency in Jerusalem and sets up the throne of David once again. And they covet these positions. They believe they deserve these positions. And why not? They were among the first disciples, after all. They had left their father's fishing business and faithfully followed Jesus for 3 years. They deserved this. They earned it. Who could argue? Except perhaps Peter and Andrew. But hey, we got there first. Our Lord Jesus did not come to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. His kingdom is not of this world. His power, you see, is made perfect in weakness. The glory of his kingdom is found in a cross and a death. That is all that the world gets to see of the kingdom of God, short of the last day. Think about that with me for a few moments. The world didn't see Jesus rise from the dead. It saw him crucified. Only a select few saw Jesus risen from the dead. Oh, it's true, there were over 500. But that's not the whole world, is it? And then, after 40 days, our Lord Jesus ascended to the very right hand of the Father in glory. From our earthly point of view, the glory of the kingdom of God looks like a cross and a crucified Messiah. Certainly not what James and John had in mind. Our Lord Jesus asks, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I'm being baptized?" Jesus said to them this. They replied, "We are." Talk about not having a clue. You see, Jesus' cup and his baptism are his death, where he drinks the poison cup of sin and death. The cup of God's wrath poured out against sinful humanity. It's where he is baptized into death for us, washed in our sin, drowned in the flood of God's wrath, and poured out over the world. His death on the cross is a cup and a baptism, and it's one that he alone can drink, one he alone is baptized with, for only he can drink this cup and endure such pains, such wrath. Only he can endure such a baptism in which he is immersed into the depth of our sin, suffering, and misery. Jesus says, "You will drink and you will be baptized." They will have a share in his suffering and death. They will drink from his cup at the table when he gives it to them and says, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the covenant shed for you." Our Lord Jesus drinks the cup of wrath so that you, may drink the cup of his forgiveness. He drinks the cursed cup so that you may drink the cup of blessing. With the cup and bread of his supper, our Lord Jesus gives you a share in his death and life, a share in his suffering and glory. And so it is with baptism. Jesus is baptized into our death so that we might be baptized into his death and resurrection. His baptism puts him on a cross where he dies for our sins. But you're baptized and joined to Jesus in his death and life so that you may live with him now by faith, and in the age to come, in the glorious resurrection of the dead. But in reality, both baptism and cup, we find the glory of God hidden, buried deep beneath the weakness and humble elements. It's revealed to you and I only through God's word. There's no glory with the eye to be seen. What infected James and John is what Luther calls the theology of glory, the wanting it all now, bypassing the cross, going straight for the glory of the kingdom. But the glory of the kingdom of God always looks weak, defeated. It always looks like nothing in this world. It looks like a dead Jesus on a cross. We constantly need to be reminded of this. You see, our perspective is not the same as God's perspective. What we view is from below. God sees everything from above. and he reveals to us what is needed for us to know from that above point of view. He gives it to us in his word. From below, our Lord Jesus appears as a man who does works of God. But from above, it is revealed to you and I that this is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. From below, the kingdom of God looks crucified. From above, it's glorified. From below, we see ourselves as sinners. Yet from above, God sees us as saints in Christ. From below, we see but bread and wine and water. But from above, God reveals that this bread is Christ's body. This wine is Christ's blood. And that in the water of baptism, there the Spirit resides, comes to you. There he delivers all that he can give in his death on the cross, winning your salvation. In the waters of baptism, it becomes yours. James and John, they want to sit in the position of power at Jesus' right and left when he enters his glory. But who's there? But two convicted terrorists. One, praise the Lord, turns to Jesus in faith. And yet one mocked him to his own death. That's who is at his right and his left when Jesus came into his glory. Now dwell on that picture in your mind for just a moment. For what a profound picture of the kingdom that truly is. For there we see that it isn't about power or achievement. It's about forgiveness and mercy. It's not about our getting a good word in with Jesus, but hearing his good word to us. It isn't about prestige or who gets the honored seat, but it's trust in the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The kingdom of God is not about power and control, gentlemen. That describes the kingdoms of this world. We call this the world of politics. The Gentiles and their rulers lording authority over others. The power to control using sheer force. Our Lord Jesus has a stern warning for all who are ambitious, all his disciples in the church, his ministers, his deaconesses, his pastors, his servants. Not so among you, he says. He comes as the suffering servant, here to serve. And we, his followers, his disciples, his baptized believers who share his cup, we too are here to serve and lay down our lives for others. Greatness in his kingdom is not about power. It's about sacrifice. For whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. That's how the kingdom of God looks in this world. It's humble, self-giving servants, all under the great servant of us all, who endured the baptism of his cross and drank the cup of God's wrath in order to save you and me and the entire world. Do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Be servant of all. Do you want to be first? Then be last. Be a slave of all. Do you want a seat near Jesus? Then sit among the least, the lost, the lowly. Sit among the losers of this world, and you will find the Savior of all. And he has a cup for you. Drink it. He has a baptism for you. Be baptized into it. He has forgiveness for you, life for you, salvation for you. Believe it. in the name of Jesus.
In our prayers, we remember Leah Nichols as she undergoes surgery, and we also pray for Amanda Martin as she observes bed rest for the remainder of her pregnancy. Let us lift up our petitions to the God of all grace, that he would deliver us from every evil of body and soul. That all enemies of the church may be brought to repentance and be united through faith to Christ, her head, let us pray to the Lord. That we may be delivered from the forces of darkness that seek to hurt and harm us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would look in mercy on the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, granting wisdom and humility to all those who lead, especially Matthew, our president, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That oppressive regimes around the world would be thwarted in the cruel treatment of their citizens, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That our president and all who are in authority may be given wisdom and humility as they work to defend our nation, to execute justice, and to preserve peace among us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the addicted and despairing, the tortured and oppressed, the hungry and homeless, those suffering in mind, body, or spirit, and those in any need or trouble may find their rest in Christ alone, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would grant physical relief to the sick, including Leah, and also to Amanda and her child, giving them an abundance of patience as they wait on the Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That all those who feast this day in the Lord's body and blood may rejoice in the Lord's forgiveness and life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all these and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, dear Father in heaven, for the sake of your beloved Son, even Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and in giving thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you to everlasting life. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.